This evening's exhortation will be given by Brother Jason Hagan. And he has no scripture reading, but his subject is desire, ego, and pride. Brother Jason.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Is that loud enough?
Yes.
Greetings from everyone in South Texas. Good to be here after 10 o'clock. And definitely we appreciate all the efforts all the brethren here exhibit. I've been on our Bible School Committee for almost 10 years now, and so all the amount of work that goes into it. Also, we welcome anyone else who would like to come to our school anytime. We're in our fall youth gathering in October. Also, maybe I'll be there a week or so. We got it. So, a little backdrop to our talk tonight on desire, ego, and pride. I'm sure all of us have stuck our foot in our mouth more than one occasion in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. I seem to have been doing a good job of that, my current supervisor. So that's what prompted all of this. All of our talks usually stem about something relating to ourselves. So this is not a talk directed at anyone other than myself. And if you glean something from it, that's great. So it seems also lately there's a lot of death on all sides, whether it be physical or spiritual. Everyone is in burnout and ready to check out, or to drop the mic and walk off the stage. But I ask the question why, opposed to ideas to use, and that one roots itself in the other. First idea is that of our desire. The second is of ego and pride, which are kind of running together in themselves. They're separate and distinct, and yet they're not. The example, or the first examination of that of the word desire, and the effects it causes upon us whenever it is misplaced. Proverbs 19:3 says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes it hastily with their feet misses the way, misses the mark. Desire is something we all have, but it's generally to please someone else or to achieve a goal, to do an infinite number of things that we can think of, because desire in and of itself is infinite. Heard it stated that desire is infinite because our desire is to live with the infinite, or with the Father and with his Son forever. The problem is, it allows us to jump from thing to thing to thing and never be satisfied when our desire is upon the things of the flesh or the things that are temporal. Hence the verse, godliness with contentment is great gain, emphasis being on the word godliness. Anyone whose Netflix account and has seen The Social Dilemma, or possibly been on YouTube and seen The Century of Self, which I believe is produced by the BBC, understands that since the World War II, our society has been transformed into putting or creating our desires on trade and finance first, and things in the finite rather than the infinite. It's more for desire for money and what I can get and attain for myself and how much status I can attain amongst others than how we relate to one another and God. Our culture has a view that people with no time and lots of money are rich and successful, doing the right thing and getting the most out of life, while people who have no money and have lots of time are poor, lazy, and unsuccessful and wasting their life away. In some ways, society has realized this with COVID, thus the Great Recession. In other ways, not so much so. They still are focused on what's in it for me. I see that as I am involved with some of the hiring process in our company. If I can just get to the next thing over there in that future point in time, then things will be okay. Scriptures tells us to take no thought for tomorrow, for to worry about it. Matthew 6, 25-34. But to seek or desire first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added up to you. We go on vacations, whether it be to the beach, the mountains, or here to the Bible school, to accomplish that goal. It seems many still, upon returning back to their jobs and their normal everyday life, need a vacation from their vacation. So we might ask, why is that? Again, our desire is still misplaced. We are seeking the attention and the approval of the temporal things, or that is, man himself. Valuing in man's opinion and each other's opinion greater than that value of God, his son. Right? We hope to be married to him. If our desire is in the proper place and in order, then we are promised that it will be filled. Genesis 3 and 16, he was told, her desire be for her husband, and he shall rule over thee, because she sought that which is temporal. She disobeyed. So it's he. That does not fit very well into our society today, especially one that has passed through women's liberation. How about spiritually to us men? Is our desire equally in that place? Leading our family towards Christ as our bridegroom? Is our desire into our husband as well? If we continue on in Genesis in chapter 4, verse 7, the second instance of desire is in reference to Cain. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. None to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain's desire was to be accepted, but it was for the acceptance of his own work in his own hands and not following God's rules. And thus, he was ruled over by sin rather than, as the verse says, ruling it. In Mark 9:55, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last. I should deal with that. In Psalm 145:19, David said, he will fill the desire of them that fear him and hear their cry and save them. But not all desire is bad. But again, it depends on whether our desire is for the temporal, or the spiritual, or the finite, or the infinite. Daniel, who was in Babylon and served Babylon, if you remember, he was subject and number one, second only to Nebuchadnezzar. It is recorded that he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. He fasted, he prayed, he mourned over it, as did many other prophets in Scripture. So again, where did we place our desire? Another way to say all this, we might refer to something more familiar to the young people and more recent, is the seven habits of highly effective people. But put first things first, for that is, as we read earlier, to seek first the kingdom of God, in his ways and not man's. If we sacrifice that, then as we read with Cain, sin crouches at the door and will surely own us. But our desires are not the root problem. Desire is merely a surface effect of something much deeper. That root, we are told in Scripture, is the pride of life. And it feeds our ego that in turn chases desire, creates our desire. So in my head, this is like a dog that chases his tail. The ego being the head and the pride, the tail that it can never catch. So it goes round and round and round until it dies. I recently finished a book. Anybody who has been to Texas or tuned into us, the last few years I have studied and looked at the idea of Stoicism, kind of giving you a little backstory here. because of one of the young people in our ecclesia. And so we'll boil all this down again, going off seven habits, beginning with the English in mind. Stoicism to me, after 2 years of looking at it, is nothing more than a twisting of the truth, a twisting of God's word. Every idiom that they have, it's the same thing that you can find in scripture, only with God removed. So that aside, this Ego is the Enemy book that I listen to is very good at pointing out what all is involved with our ego. While it's written by a Stoic, as we just mentioned, he's also atheist, is very much on point. So we'll give you a brief overview of that, and also tie all this back into scripture. Everything is talk, talk, talk. Ego always has you talking, whether it's out loud or in your head. There's a saying that we have in society, talk is cheap, silence is strength, and so stillness is the key. It's something we see Christ do quite frequently. He ascended to the top of a mountain to be in silence with his Father. It's the example of maturity, which is in contrast to that of a child who impatiently is screaming out, mom, 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 to whatever they need. Sometimes, or quite often, we might find ourselves being the same way in our prayers. Are prayers really clearing the path for God and his Son? Or are we merely begging as a child screaming, mom? We suggest to them that our greatest work is not trying to fill the void, or rather to fill, or that is not trying to fill the void with our own voice, but to listen for God's voice. So there's another phrase in from Eastern philosophy: those who don't know talk, and those who talk don't know how to change. Or if we go back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve again, all they had to do was abstain. All they had to do was walk past the tree of knowledge of good and evil and tend to the rest of the garden to find their way to the tree of life. They did not do that. So we struggle with this ego pride. Ego crosses out what matters most and replaces it with what doesn't. Or as the Sankeys would tell you in San Antonio, a better way to say that might be, you gave up what you wanted most for what you wanted in the moment. Our ego prevents us from being a student or a disciple because it says you are enough. You're fine. You're fine where you are. It prefers its own assessment, and does not allow for review. It only stirs up itself, in contrast to what the scripture tells us to stir each one another up. Ego is defensive. It rises up with their fist in the air, as we see all the way back to the French Revolution and so many movements today. Ego knows everything, or at least has an answer for it. Another book, not a Christadelphian book, but a author that I've been following as well, is Brant Hanson. And it's something that I recommend anybody pick up and listen. And it's titled Unoffendable, or The Truth About Us. I'll mention it again here in a minute. Because ego is defensive, does not like being told what to do or review. But the scriptures instruct us on how to be unoffendable. There's a proverb that says, when a student is ready, when a student has lost his ego, the teacher will appear. Ego says, Ego says that we should be passionate and zealous for yourself and your own desires and for your own goals. Wooden was well known for coaching and telling all his players to never be a passionate slave or to be overly passionate. To be disciplined, to be consistent, and to show up. Because to show up will get you to mastery. That is much better than drunken passion, as you would say. Print your notes for saying, above all, not too much zeal. Romans, if you see any of the movies, they had two riders in the carts. One of them was always telling the leader and reminding him to have not too much zeal, for that all of his applause and all of his praise meant nothing. So again, we should clear the path for one another, clear the path for Christ. Going back to the sports again, Bill Belichick's first job was analyzing film for free. He did it for no pay because of his grunt work and made him the master of his game. Ultimately cleared the path for himself. The same is true of us. He was quoted for say little and do much, be lesser and do more. Sounds like something from scripture. Esteem one another better than yourself and clear the path for them freely and willingly, just as he did freely. Because your desire is not to be for yourself, but for others. For to do the work for the work's sake, not worried about the credit and accolades. Those are for the egotists. For to show restraint and do the hard work, which is a very big contrast to everything around us. Our smartphones can give us anything in an instant. We can look up any answer and any bias to whatever we're slanted to. We can order something on Amazon and have it tomorrow. Or if it's available, can we select so and have it within just a few hours? So it becomes important for us to practice delayed gratification. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It may not be for your well-being. It takes practice in sports, and that applies even more so to the spirit. Reference another book I've read recently, Atomic Habits. It says in there, if it is not specific, if it is not written down, if it does not have detail, it does not exist. It's a dream, a wish, and a fairy tale. For to write down what our goals are, how to do it, when to do it, and commit it publicly or confess it before one another. Why? So that it has teeth in it. Because the pain of change must be less than the pain of remaining the same. One of my other favorite phrases from this book, ego is the enemy, is the phrase, get out of your own head. Because that's primarily because it talks to our humility. We should be humble. We'll elaborate in a second. Plato said, the people feast on their own thoughts, making their lazy souls even lazier than the dead. Grant Hansen, in Truth About Us, of self-hate and self-loathing we can do all day, but it is still thinking about ourselves. It is not humble at all. Humility is thinking about others as much as you would normally think about yourself. Thus, the scripture says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Another phrase is drop the E and just go. Go forth and love thy neighbor. Put the thoughts of yourself out of your head and think about someone else and act on that. C.S. Lewis wrote, a proud man is always looking down on things and other people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot look at what is above you. Psalms 10 and 4 says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not see him. All his thoughts are there is no God. Proverbs 6 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29 and 23. He who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. Ego wants the fun stuff. It wants talking and thinking to count towards the result, but it does not. Work does. So we are work for the work's sake, because God provides the increase. Don't look for accolades. Don't look for the reward. Don't look for the result. Do the work for the work's sake, because God has said it is good for us. Society also says, in contrast to that, fake it until you make it. But Paul says, be imitators of me, even so as I am of Christ. Consistency and reliance and trust in God gets the payoff, even if you never, ever see a lick of it in this life. Success only inflames our ego and pride, so don't look for it. When the I succeeds, the ego thrives. So don't pray for success, but rather pray for the strength to endure this life. Why? Because as we just said, success only brings new problems. It only brings new challenges. There's no end to it. Physicist John Wheeler said, as our island of knowledge grows, so does the shore of our ignorance. 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Our need, our ego, to have an answer, be the one with an answer, to be put together, to be informed, to be intelligent, to be attractive, to be healthy, to be creative, and on and on and on. It's our ego's version trying to control us. Proud of life, prodding on. Sin is ever so subtle in our life. It takes sitting in silence to see it, hear it. C.S. Lewis again says, pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. We spend so much energy on us. How do we ever spend time loving our neighbors, providing them food and water, and ultimately providing food and water for our master? Matthew 25 and 35. When we desire approval from God and not men, then we find the empathy to love and serve one another. I'll say that again. When we desire approval from God and not of men, then we find the empathy to love and serve one another. I've heard it said by some elders, sometime in the late 80s, things have gotten broken. Brotherhood used to be more focused on loving one another, loving our neighbors, rather than loving ourselves. Sometime around that time frame, everything began to shrink. Everybody's attention turned more towards themselves and their busy schedules rather than towards the brotherhood and Christ. Let us, as Paul says over and over again, let us together find that love again and stop chasing our tail. Or ego chasing the private life. 1 John 2 and 16, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. For as Isaiah says in 64 and 8, he is the potter and we are the clay. But if our ego is in the way and resists as the fist in the air, then we become brittle and crumble and unusable. So again, let us make sure and have the right attitude that we may find and search out the right reason to be found doing the right thing and exhibit integrity. If you Google ego, you go into Google or any search engine, look up ego, the most common verse that comes up is Philippians 2, 1 through 10, chapter on humility. There be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Christ submitted himself not even to promote his own self, but to give God the glory of God. So should we. Summarize those 10 verses. It said, be humble, be obedient, be lowly, have no reputation or no success as far as the world's concerned, as far as you're concerned. All opposites of our society, all opposites of what ego and pride tells us. All opposites of resist and type A personalities. I've done my homework, and so I'm right. I'm smarter than the average person, so I'm right. I think many of us can relate to that. Love doesn't concern itself with who's right, but it concerns itself with the path to righteousness. It concerns itself with forgiveness and repentance. It sees the images of the fruit of the Spirit in others. We were created in God's image. It sees what God created in man around us and acts on that and seeks to draw it out. That's what Brother Jim talked about this morning, right? Be a kingdom of priests. To show other men in darkness the path. Be the light. It said children glow, or so children laugh 10 times more than adults. Why? Because they are so quick to forgive. They aren't performing for man's attention, self-worth. Sure, they can be narcissistic and just as full of ego. They are so quick to forgive. They are laughing and free to create relationships far quicker than any adult. Except you be converted at this one of these little ones. He shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3. Christ in John 5:30 says, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. In verse 31, I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So if Christ wouldn't even profess to promote himself, then why should we? As Paul says, it is not I, but sin that dwelleth within me, with ego and pride. Luke 18:12 says, follow me. Two simple words. To follow Christ, to be imitators of him. Not fake it till you make it, but follow. On my desk at home, I have one of the little bobbleheads, the puppet characters, a baby Yoda for those who know who that is. That's the one of him eating a frog, because there's also a book called Eat the Frog. It's talking about, again, success and measures of being successful. But I spot it this way. Because the phrase in the book is, if you have to eat three, eat the biggest one first. So my mind immediately went, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And the biggest one to eat first is the pride of life and our ego. So if we begin each day reminding ourselves to eat the frog or eat the ego and do the hard thing first, then the rest of the day should fall out of order. Because ego is completely opposite of everything God. It speaks to us in stereo, one in each ear. It's not like the cartoon where you have good and evil, one on each shoulder. Ego speaks in both your ears, or in stereo. You don't need to change. In the other ear, you're the worst. Go to bed and be depressed and do nothing, because then you don't have to change. One is saying the same as the other. Society also supports that. Everyone gets a medal. Everyone gets an accolade. You're a snowflake of snowflakes. There's nothing about you that's the worst. Yet everything in scripture is countered with that. There's nothing in today's society about calling out rebuke. In fact, if you were rebuking anyone for anything or stating any kind of truth, you're canceled. But do things in sincerity and love, rebuking one another. We're to rebuke one another and to stir one up in a loving fashion, or that is, to remove the beam of ego from our own eye. 1 Timothy 5:20. Those who continue in sin, rebuke. Where? In the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. Maybe that's what changed in the 80s and 90s, because society changed as well. The lack of rebuke, maybe more importantly, the humility to accept it and to make that change to the one we see in the mirror. Or maybe, as we just read, it was the manner in which it was done. The ego was in charge in the rebuke process, and not the humility, sincerity, love of God. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such an one. In spirit of gentleness. And he caveats that with each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. That's a hard saying and very hard to do. Because ego loves the status quo. Ego's greatest fear is that of change. Thus, Jesus' very first sermon, Mark 1:15, he says, repent. Literally means to change your mind. Have the humility to accept and repent. So to conclude tonight, a few closing verses and comments. Jesus taught us that the greatest commandments were to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Or as we said earlier, think less of ourselves, think equally as much about our neighbor. Matthew 22:37-39. When we strive to keep these commandments, we take the focus off ourselves and place it where it should be. God and helping others. I'm honoring him and his creation. And in life devoid of the ego, the I will becomes thy will. Charles Spurgeon wrote about pride. He said it is an all-pervading sin. He said pride is so natural to fallen men that it springs up in the heart like weeds in a well-watered garden. Its every touch is evil. You may hunt it down, you may hunt down this fox and think you have destroyed it. Lo, your very exultation is pride. None have more pride than than those who dream that they have none. Rather than sin with a thousand lives, and it seems impossible to kill. Indeed, it will only die when Christ returns. Finally, tying in our theme verse, Philippians 4, 8 through 13. He writes, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Getting down verse 11. For I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Again, a reflection on humility. I know how to be abased or rebuked. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So our hope is that we not be Bible nerds, if you will, satisfying our own ego and our own pride of how much we know, but people full of grace and mercy. Operating as priests, restoring one another and strengthening one another as iron sharpens iron. On our own path to repentance, the life of the Father, and his Son, our bridegroom. Thank you.